This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
I've been trying Underbrush from Nathan and Sons, and it's not really regular gum. It's remineralizing chewing gum, basically an oral care routine in gum form. You brush in the morning and at night, but after lunch, there's a big gap where most of us do nothing for our teeth. Underbrush is made for that moment. Chew it for 5 to 10 minutes, spit it out, and move on. Or keep chewing it if you like the feel of it. It's made with something called hydroxyapatite. That's the same mineral your enamel is made from, and natural saps like mastic and spruce. So it has a firmer, really satisfying chew. The company is only a few years old, and the team is literally making, packing, and shipping gum every day. So if you want a simple daily upgrade for your teeth, check out Underbrush from Nathan and Sons. Check them out today at nathanandsons.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Bama Wallhangers Podcast. I'm Brad. Tucker is on the far end. We got a special guest in the house with us today is Sawyer. Sawyer's the family fisherman we've been talking about. We've got one more guest with us through the power of the internet, and he's coming from South Alabama. Captain Pat, as we call him. That's what he told us to call him that day. So Patrick is going to be telling us about what he does. I think he does it pretty much every day. Seems like he's a pretty busy guy, and I understand that. It's good to be busy, though. That means it's good business. He is the owner of Ugly Fishing, right?
Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all having me. Good to see these boys growing up.
No doubt. No doubt. So, I guess if you're going to start out telling everybody where do we need to be if we're going to be lining up a fishing trip with you? Where do we need to be coming out? I think when we were there, we spent the night in Mobile the first night. The second time was a kind of a different stay. We came and got it while we were at the beach. But tell us what you got going on.
Yeah, so like you said, I run Ugly Fishing. It's a primarily inshore fishing. I fish the entire Mobile Bay and Mississippi Sound. So people that want to stay, whether you want to stay in Mobile, you want to stay at Dolphin Island, Gulf Shores, Fairhope, Theodore, anywhere in those general areas. I live in Daphne, so if you look at Mobile Bay on a map, I live up on the northeastern quadrant of Mobile Bay. But from where I keep my boat, I can trailer to Dolphin Island and be there in about an hour. I can trailer down to Weeks Bay and run the boat across to Fort Morgan. That takes me about an hour. So basically, I can fish from the Mobile Tensaw Delta, which is the northern part of Mobile Bay, reaching up into the rivers and everything. Right. I can fish any of that right within Daphne. So a lot of times if I'm kind of unsure as to where my guests are, you know, if they're not coming to wanting to stay at the beach and they're not too worried about going shopping or anything like that, they just want to come and go fishing and kind of have the best kind of area for us to have our best options.
Right.
Having somebody come and stay in Daphne or Spanish Fort really works out well for us, because if we wake up, we got an east wind, we've got the entire eastern side of Mobile Bay to be able to fish. And that's what we had today. Like, we had really strong easterly winds that started out about 15 knots and blew all the way up to about 30 knots today. And you don't want to be on the western side of the bay, because then you end up really confined into places where you can fish and it just becomes really difficult. So in the sense of like us being able to be the most flexible when customers come and say that they're staying in Spanish Fort or Daphne, it really makes my life a lot easier, because we can, you know, both me and the customer will have the same amount of travel regardless of where we need to go fish. And what I'm trying to do is just trying to find a best area for us to go fish within the given conditions or the predicted conditions that we're going to have.
So you got some pretty good options anyway from where you're coming from, depending on what the weather's doing.
Yes, sir. And if I had to take my choice, if we had low rainfall and we had ideal conditions just, you know, for an entire year, I wouldn't want to fish any place else other than the Mobile Tensaw Delta. It is so beautiful up there. Those rivers are so pretty. There's so much wildlife, so much to see, a lot of history, Civil War history up and down the sides of those rivers. And generally really good fishing for redfish and flounder. And then, at times really good fishing for speckled trout and other things as well. So, if I were to draw a circle on the map as to where I want to be as much of the year as possible, that's where I want to be.
Gotcha. We, the second trip we came down, we fished more for, the redfish. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember where we actually started out, but we went out of a river there and I think it was kind of neat. Guys from Fayette County, Alabama, we don't see many alligators and we don't see many dolphins, and to see them within the same very second right there going out to the water, there was a alligator laying out here next to the river and a dolphin is swimming right next to us. And I was like, wow, that we don't see that every day. And that was pretty cool. You know?
Yeah. I remember when everybody was going out, my buddy, which was Cade, and his dad was sitting on the front of the boat and they was like soaked because we was hitting the waves going out there. That was so big that day. It was so fun. I remember it.
But
that's one thing I won't forget about it.
Man, I love it that you remember those parts of the fishing trip, because, you know, a lot of times, me as a guide and a lot of times, Brad, you as a dad, a lot of times we're thinking about, man, we got to put these boys on as many fish as possible and this and that. And that's great to hear that, that somebody getting wet on the boat and seeing a dolphin, you know, those are always great to hear to keep things in perspective as to how appreciative we can be of the outdoors and the surroundings around us. We do really have a cool and special place. And one day in particular, I was actually in the Delta. This was kind of in the latter part of the summer or early fall. And we see a manatee, a dolphin, an alligator, bald eagles, and we're catching sharks and largemouth bass and redfish all in the same spot.
Wow, that's crazy.
That's like the Yellowstone of the beach, you know, a little bit of everything.
The absolute melting pot of everything. And you can't predict to be able to see all of those particular creatures in one given day, but it certainly is a really cool moment to be able to see all of that life in one spot.
Opportunities there, no doubt. And it's Alabama. I mean, that's what's pretty neat. We've got a pretty cool, you know, where we're at here in the middle of nowhere, but we get to see an eagle fly over every now and then, you know. If we see an alligator, everybody's going to know about it. We were talking the last show about how there was a bear hit within like 10 or 15 miles of our house, maybe three weeks ago on the interstate. Kind of crazy. I haven't ran into one, but they're around every now and then.
Yeah, they are.
Me and Tucker were laughing just a little while ago. My buddy, he takes a hit here. We talk about him a lot, but I'm not gonna say his name. But he was the guy that the initial trip that we came on a couple of years ago, several years ago now.
Yeah,
he was going to be down there with his son. They were going to do a Boy Scout thing, I think, at the Alabama in the bay. Mm-hmm. So they were there a day before us. He told me he had a fishing trip lined up. I have no clue. I just know that he wants me and Tucker to show up on Saturday. No, Sunday. So we're going to show up Saturday night, spend the night, wake up, go fishing. We got to come home, go to work on Monday. And me and Tucker leave out that afternoon. Sorry, was a little guy then. He would not have liked the ride on the boat, and that's just what it is. But now I think we need to get it going. But we left out that afternoon, set through a wreck on 65. That's like always. And then when we get down there, Tucker may not remember this really well, but we get to the hotel that my buddy had booked. And
I remember.
From this point forward, I decided I will find my own room, because
you didn't tell me about this.
Listen, well, we were past that, man. It was a struggle that morning. So that was over and we had survived it. But I'm going to tell you now where we had come from for a night before I got up with you after we had been left abandoned. So we drove down that Saturday. We pull up to where the address says we're going to be. Now, I'm illiterate when it comes to directions. I will follow Google Maps through the gates of hell if that's where it tells me I need to go. So we get to this place and it looks sketchy. And when we walk in, there's probably, I guess, 20 or 30 people arguing with the manager at the counter that are soaking wet, but they're not guests. They're mad because there's no towels. Well, they're not guests. They've jumped the fence and they're swimming and they're mad because there's no towels. While they're working that out, I kind of go over to the side and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know. I walk over and I get the room key from the lady and we go to get in our room and I told Tuck, I was like, look, man, here's what we're going to do. We're going to lay the towels on the bed. We're not going to get in those sheets. We're going to sleep, bathe, and leave in the morning. And my buddy, it's time to bed down. We're like, hey, we're here. I'll see you in the morning. What time we got to leave? We got to be at that place at 6, whatever. Door. We hear a knock on the door. It's Tucker's little buddy. He's like, hey, can I stay with y'all? I said, well, yeah. So I call his dad. I'm like, hey, he's here. You good with that? Yeah. I said, what's wrong? He said, man, I'm not even going to tell you what come out of the pull-out sofa. He needs to be with you. I said, okay.
Oh, God.
So I was like, God. So once again, I told Tucker, I said, dude, we're sleeping on top of these sheets.
Yeah.
We're not touching anything. So the next, we survive. I have a pistol by my head waiting, you know. And anyway, we get up that next morning. Everybody survives. We leave out. We go to the little store where we were going to be meeting close to this guy at this boat ramp. And I, you know, I've never been there. Jeremy don't know him. I assume Jeremy's paid a deposit because this has been planned for a while. And he didn't really think about it either, you know, and I didn't, you know, but we get out there and 6 o'clock rocks by, nobody.
Me and Kay are bored out of our mind.
We're just standing.
We're sitting on the dock and everybody else was backing in boats.
They're backing in. They're having fun. They're waving. They're leaving and we're sitting and they're throwing rocks, you know. Well, then 7 o'clock comes and Jeremy's called and nobody answers. 7:30. I was like, give me the phone. Let me see the phone number. I'll try mine. Well, the guy answers. I'm like, hey, man. Are you going to, you got any openings today? You know, what's going on? Well, I'm actually having transmission trouble. I said, well, look, dude, that ain't that big a deal. I have a truck. I'll come pull your boat if you want. You know, I'm not mad, right? I want to help you. If that's the case, we got 2 kids that are going to be devastated. And he's like, no. And then he's like, okay, I'm going to hook it up to my other truck. Well, then 30 minutes later, I call back. I'm like, hey, man, where do we need to go? You know, he said, oh, I'm having trouble getting bait now. I was like, you know, whatever. And we decided, I'm like, he's not coming. And I asked my buddy, I was like, did you pay a deposit? And he's like, no, I didn't. I was like, well, dang. So now you really ain't got anything to stand on, but you know, it's somebody's word.
Yeah.
And that's not always the best. So he had a list and I don't know, somebody worked with it at the time, gave him a list. And it was an old guy, an old gentleman, man. And I don't know what the connection was with him. And you may not remember I don't remember the name. It's been a long time ago, but he called that guy and told him the spiel. And the guy gave us your number. He's like, look, man, this is a good guy. He said, he's normally not out on Sunday. Call him, tell him what's up, and just be honest, and he might help you out. And that was it. Like, we called, and I remember my buddy saying, like, man, I think he's in the bed. I was like, well, he probably is. But, I mean, what? Within 30 minutes, we met you, got bait, and we were going. And it was, I'm glad, man, because next stop for us was Walmart to buy some fishing reels, and we were going to be standing right there where we needed to be just to try to catch a fish, you know, and it ended up being an awesome day. Now they caught a lot of fish. Yeah. We all had fun.
Caught some speckled trout and stuff.
Yeah, caught a bunch of speckled trout.
Tucker said he remembered, and I forgot about this. Yeah, the transformer blowing up while we were up kind of in the bay there, up in the...
Is it called the port and stuff, like where all the boats
We were in Mobile River. We were up in the harbor there.
That transformer blew, and I thought we'd been shot.
We all jumped and ducked because we thought we was getting shot at.
But we were catching fish, so everybody just kept fishing, hoping they wouldn't all die. And then I'll tell you this, and we'll get off this trip, but when we left, you probably see this with a lot of guys. Like, I had sunscreen. I'm going to get burnt. I'm going to burn bad, and it's going to hurt, and it's going to be regrettable every time, right? Tucker, pretty pale skin. He needs it. Sawyer, we all burn pretty bad. So I'm the guy. I'm going to spray. You can make fun of me if you want to. I don't want cancer, and I don't want to be sunburned. And my buddy's like, no, I don't want to. I said, okay. All right, you know, and this his son, he's pretty dark complexion. We put it on him, but later I'm like, hey, you want something? Nah, he's got his shirt off. We're enjoying the day.
Yeah, he had his shirt off.
Boy, we having a good day. You know what I mean? And when we finish, he's on that high, you know, adrenaline. You can get through a lot of pain. He's doing all right. And we stopped to get some food. We got kids. Let's get the nuggets. We're at McDonald's right outside of where we had left out. You know, quick, get that. We're going home. We go in there and we're sitting by the air conditioner. He's like, he starts to shakes, you know, and we're tickled. We get back in the truck and this dude is covered up with a blanket. And I don't know what degree burn he had, But he didn't learn his lesson. We multiple trips after that with them guys down there at the beach, and it's the same result, man. So I,
same thing, y'all.
That's, those are two that, you know, that don't even have anything to do with the fish we pulled in. It was, we got bummed out. You came through. So I will promote you all day long. I've also got another buddy that him and his friends, they're from the Sylacauga area. They come down every summer and fish with you. They did. Maybe it was about a month and a half ago, I think they came.
And, yeah, Caleb.
Yes,
Caleb and his crew. Yeah,
and that's a good guy, man. We love him to death. He spent some time with us when we were in school. When we went, he's a lot younger than me. I went back to PTA school, and he was going to have to drive like 3 hours for a clinical. And I was like, man, tell your parents, you're welcome to stay with us. We're semi crazy, but not crazy. We've got your room. So, man, we've ended up with a good friend right there with him. And he talks you up big too. They like coming down there and fishing.
Yeah, him and his crew's been a blast. It was really funny about probably three trips ago or so, they all came. Duffy couldn't come.
Right.
And man, I don't know if we were trying to be spiteful or what, but man, every time we'd catch a fish, we were sending him pictures.
We're sending a picture. That may have been, man, if he missed out.
We blew his phone up that day. Every time somebody caught one, we were sending him pictures, and he swears up and down he ain't going to miss the trip now.
I think he likes it, and it is fun, man. We need to take time and do it. We've been traveling, like during the summers, we go to some other places, and I don't know, you know. What do you say to people that don't have time during the summer to come? Is there a bad time to come fish? I mean, are you good with fishing? Is there something that you'll try anytime, or is there a time where you don't suggest it?
12 months a year, I'm fishing.
There's always fish out there, I guess, right?
Yep, 12 months a year, I'm going to fish. Okay. I say January and February can be the more difficult times because of the just cold fronts coming through, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people would rather be in the woods anyway, so a lot of people aren't thinking about fishing. But if you do happen to come down this area and you're going to be here for, say, 2, 3, 4 days or something,
right?
You know, a lot of times I'm not going to really be booked. Like, you know, I might book 8 or 10 trips at the most in the month of January or February. Right. That's not because we're not going to have access to good fishing. It's more or less going to be just that the
travelers,
the wind's going to, we're just going to have too much wind. We're going to have difficult conditions. But if we can have a situation where somebody's coming down for 3 or 4 days and we can kind of pencil them in for all of those days, and we just pick the best one or two. Sometimes you get a 3-day stretch of weather where it's real pretty,
right?
And I don't necessarily need it to be bluebird skies and just really comfortable weather. I just need it to not be blowing 40 miles an hour.
Right.
If it's blowing 40, it's tough, you know. Most of all of our fishing that time of year is going to be in the rivers, right? So we can get out of the wind for the most part, but I definitely like to try to avoid trying to fish the day after a cold front. That second day or that third day after a cold front comes through, right, can set up really good for some speckled trout fishing. And the interesting thing, I would say the other thing is I do prefer to have more of my avid fishermen during those months, because we're going to be doing a little bit more technical fishing with lures and stuff. Right. So if a gentleman brings his family and he has kids that are like 7 and 10 and 13 or something like that, the 13-year-old might be a good fisherman and has the ability to throw a lure and fill a bite. The two little ones, man, there's sometimes where there's just nothing to do other than hook a fish and let them reel them in.
Right.
And that's just because they just get so keyed in up on lures, and you could throw a live shrimp out there and the live shrimp would just die of old age. They won't hardly touch it. Right. But you get a lure to go doing the right thing and you can catch your fish that way. The other time of the year that I'd say August is sometimes the time of the year to think of whether or not you want to really get out there and get into that heat. But there are some cool opportunities in August. So, I mean, the short answer is that we can go 12 months a year and we can figure out something to do.
Yeah.
But the longer answer would be that we're going to have to be a little bit more specific to what the expectations are.
I got
probably in August and then January and February. But if people are coming down and just coming down for the beach or coming down for a conference, you get conferences at downtown Mobile and the Grand Hotel down in Fairhope. All of those areas, a lot of times they'll have them in those kind of really those 3 months I just named. Right. And if it lines up with good conditions, then shoot, let's go. Man, we can go catch some fish.
Gotcha. Yeah. How about this summer? Business is probably, I imagine you probably lined out, right?
Yeah, most of June, I think I got maybe one or two more days left to book in June and a couple of left in July. Generally my June through kind of early September are going to be more of my out of town guests. And it works out well for me that way, because a lot of times my folks that aren't saltwater anglers, they tend to appreciate a little bit more diversity.
Right.
My local guys like to really get honed in on speckled trout, redfish, maybe flounder. So we'll be a little bit more specific for those. Right. And those cooler months before it gets really hot for me are better for like going and targeting those species. But like this time of year, like you get into June and July, man, we could go put a shrimp around a piece of structure in the lower end of the bay, and you might catch 18 different species on one, you know, just throwing a live shrimp in the same spot over and over.
Right.
People that are seasoned to fishing around here maybe not have the same gratitude and appreciation for catching a bunch of different species. They get upset and want to catch a speckled trout on every cast, and that's fine. But there's a play. There's a time of the year when those sort of things work out in our favor. And that's the main thing for me, is I like to try to get an understanding of what y'all want to do.
Right.
But like a lot of times this time of year, people come down to the beach. They're coming for the beach, and they want to add a fishing trip into their vacation.
Right.
And that's a lot of what we're doing. We're just trying to give them a good experience and try to catch as many fish as we can. And if they're going to keep some and eat them while they're in town, or take some back to eat them at the house or whatever, try to give them a good experience and a good diversity of fish to try.
Catching them trout on them popping corks, that was fun.
Yeah.
I won't ever.
Well, and when y'all were here on that first trip, I think we did a lot of it on free line baits. I think we were just free lining those shrimp, throwing them in that deeper water.
Yeah, you talking about somebody trying to be specific on catching anything? These guys right here, as long as it swims in the water, they will try to catch it and be happy with whatever they catch. Now, you do have some people that, we don't fish them enough to try to come down and specifically do one or the other. That's all right, but. Sawyer had his best time last weekend. We were at Joe Wheeler, which is in North Alabama, the Wheeler Dam right there. Mm-hmm. And we were fishing, him and his buddies, and one of my buddies fishing below the dam. I think they had more fun catching drum than they did any stripe or anything. Wouldn't you say so?
Yeah. I got more hooks in my fingers than I caught fish.
The waves were a little rough right there. But,
I'm glad you said that, because about the Wheeler, me and my son went up and fished Wheeler. It's almost about a year and a half ago now.
Yeah.
And we went up there to fish with my buddy Slick Johnson. We went up there and fished with him to catch us a smallmouth.
Yep.
My son caught a smallmouth. I hooked one, jumped it off. It didn't stay buttoned up, but I caught a meanmouth.
Yeah.
Cooper caught a drum. Even though we had a mission of wanting to try to catch a smallmouth, at the end of the day, man, we wanted to bend a rod too. It didn't matter.
Catching fish. Those drums, they're heavy, so it's fun to reel them in. We caught some catfish. Yeah. It was fun. But that, we was talking about, he's talking about the hooks in his finger. I didn't ever tell you this when we started out on that, probably the second trip, I guess.
Yeah.
We went out there. We were scooting in that boat. I'm not really a fan of going too fast in a boat, but you know what? I was like, this guy does it every day, so we're not going to hit those poles, I feel like. And then I trusted, and I sat there. So we lived through it. I stay pretty nervous on the boat, but we made it all right. I never hooked myself. I'm pitiful at fishing. So like you was talking about the kids, you probably have as much trouble out of me throwing some stuff as you would a kid. Tucker and Sawyer, they're probably better than me by any means, but either way, it's It was fun, but when you're talking about the kids, I was like, man, that'd be me. I'd be the one causing the problems. It wouldn't be my kids. It'd be me jacking stuff up the whole time. But Sawyer, I think, Sawyer's been milking his water here, his flavor water. He started workouts, Monday?
Yeah.
So he's really sore today. So he's trying to get some fluids in. But I told him to come up with some questions for you. So he's got a couple questions here.
Yeah, all right, go ahead.
So now consider this. This is going to be him asking you because maybe a dad's too cheap to book a fishing trip every time he comes to the beach.
Yeah, no all right. worries.
All right, here's one I got. I said, if my dad's too cheap to book a trip, what's some bait I could cast off the shore that I could have fun and catch some fish with? Because I usually don't have any luck fishing offshore.
All right. Well, I got a follow up question. You're going to have to tell me if you're wanting to fish like off the beach or if you're wanting to fish like in the bay, like off a dock or off a pier or something in the bay.
Typically for us, it's off of the beach.
Yeah, off the
and
beach.
Just depending. Okay. And that would be most time because we're willing. Now, Sawyer's not as willing to wake up early before it gets crowded.
No.
Tucker's willing to wake up in the middle of the night and go out there and fish. But either way,
gotcha.
I told him, I said, ask, man. You got buddies that go and can't go. Maybe they can start catching a fish or two, you know.
All right. Well, all right. So, for fishing off the beach, probably the easiest thing to do to be able to just get a tight line is going to be to fish a like a two-hook rig where you would have a weight on the bottom and then two hooks up the line and put some fish bites. Shrimp flavored fish bites or Samplee scented fish bites.
Yeah.
Both of those can means just sticking your bait in your pocket and take a two hook rig out there, throw it out, have you a sand spike or something to put your rod in.
Right.
That's if you want to just sit there and just try to catch something.
Just something, man.
I mean, you're going to, once you get into June, you're going to encounter pompano and whiting, catfish, redfish, black drum, hardtails, ladyfish, Spanish mackerel. I mean, you could potentially catch seven or eight different species on using those fish bites on a two hook rig like that.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't want to just sit there and wait, if you don't want to bait and wait, then lure types, man, a soft plastic like a paddle tail. I would get away. I know some of those bass lures are like really soft lures.
Right.
This time of the year, once you get into the summertime, a nice durable lure like a Z-Man paddle tail or something like that, on like a quarter or 3/8 ounce jig head, man, just get out there, throw it. And you can just throw it out and reel it in, or you can work it along the bottom. And a lot of times you're going to put yourself in position to catch speckled trout, redfish, flounder, ladyfish, Spanish mackerel, bluefish. All of those will hit that. And the reason why the Z-Man is important is because it'll withstand a lot more of those toothy critters like a Spanish mackerel or a bluefish, ladyfish. But all of those are real notorious for tearing up soft plastics. But there again, it's a real simplistic way to get out on the beach. Take you a pack of jig heads, take you a pack of Z-Man, maybe an extra little bit of a leader material in case if those fish start chewing you up and you got to change your leader out. But, I mean, you can literally walk to the beach with a rod and reel and a couple things in your pockets and have a good shot at catching some fish that way.
All right. Got another one?
Oh, and I will say, if you're going with fish bites and Z-Man products, anything that's got some pink in it, pink, orange, chartreuse, anything like that, bright colors generally are the way to go.
All right.
I got one more. It says, what's y'all's boat record for redfish?
Boat record for a customer is 45 and a half inches long.
God.
did not weigh it. Did not weigh it just because weighing a fish of that size can often put a lot of stress on that fish. And it was all about taking a picture and letting it go.
Yeah.
The guy that caught it, he was actually, we were actually using a prototype lure at the time. It's now being massively produced by the company that made it, but it's called a Slick Junior. My friend Greg Sample owns the company. It's called Pure Flats Fishing, and they create they have slick lure products. So they have the OG Slick, the Little Slick, and the Slick Junior. At the time of my having that lure in my hand, yeah. I had two of them. That was it. And I had him trying it just to see if he could catch some speckled trout.
Yeah.
And it was working so good. And yeah. The other guys were like, "Well, you got any more of them?" I was like, "I don't. Like that's the last one I have."
Yeah.
And when he hooked that redfish and it started dumping drag, I was like, "Oh man, well there goes my lure. That's the last one I've got." And I mean, because he caught it on a 2500 spinner reel.
Yeah.
And I think we were in about probably 2.5-3 feet of water. Had been sitting there catching like, say, 17 to 19 inch speckled trout. Had been having some nice catches that morning. Yep. Hooks into that redfish and it goes round and around the boat. Really thought it was going to be a Jack Crevalle, just because of how hard it was fighting. And then finally, it showed itself and it got in the boat. It was 45 inches.
That's crazy.
Crazy. How long was that fight?
Man, I bet it was probably a 20-minute fight. And in most cases, despite redfish being big and strong animals, a lot of times, even on lighter tackle like redfish or like on like inshore tackle, generally you can catch that fish in about 7 to 10 minutes or less. I'd say 10 minutes at the max. But now the actual boat record is held by me. I caught it. I caught a 50-inch redfish. Yeah. And it was a day in, I think it was early December. I was fishing along the eastern shore. So I was fishing up near Daphne, right there by where I live. And I had gone out, fished with some customers that morning and just had a phenomenal day. The tide was setting up for the bite to just continue to progress like all day long, because I think we had a high tide like right in the late evening, like maybe 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So I was like very optimistic that the bite was going to continue all the way through the day. And when I got to one of my customers, I asked my wife when she got off of work if she'd go get my son out of school, because I wanted to take him out and put him on some fish.
Time to roll.
Well, I took my customers back, cleaned their fish, and then I was easing back down. I just wanted to go scout some other areas that were going to be close by. And I saw this flat that just had, just at one point you could look at in a probably about a 10 acre area, and there's probably 200 mullet in the air at the same time. There were so many of them jumping. I mean, just an astronomical amount of mullet jumping. And when I see something like that, it always has me curious as to what predatory fish are going to be in amongst that many mullet, if at all. Sometimes you'll find mullet like that and find bait fish like that, and there's just no other predatory fish, or you're just not able to fool them because there's so many bait fish. I started sliding out there and was throwing my speckled trout. Well, it was actually a slick lure too. It was the big slick lure. And I was working that thing and I got thumped and I set the hook and it didn't move. I was like, doggone, I set the hook into I know it was a bite, and I set the hook and then it just starts slowly going, and it was almost like a train just slowly taking off. It just got faster and faster and faster. And I was like, oh my God, I think I just looked a jack or a giant bull, like black drum. I wasn't thinking redfish because of how heavy this thing felt.
Right.
And then I finally got it coming to me, and I caught it. I mean, it was on a lose. Just like a lose bass reel and a 7.5 foot rod or 7.3 rod. And anyway, it took me about 20 minutes to get that thing in and netted by myself. And it was 50 inches. And my guess would be that it was right around 40 to 42 pounds.
That's crazy. God.
So was your son excited that he missed the action right there?
he was too little at that point to be able to catch one that big.
So it wouldn't hurt that bad now.
Right. Yeah. But it was I tend to keep up with two records. One of my records will be my personal record or my son's record, or a customer's record. So 45 and a half and 50 inches are the two records.
Well, the captain of the boat should hold his own record anyway. I would just cut it off right there anyway.
Yeah. Luckily I do most of them. I do have, so.
You got some more water time. I mean, so that's understandable. Man, that's awesome, though. That's pretty good. That's fun. Let me ask you this. You're talking about the equipment you use. I know we probably jacked up two or three reels while we were there. Didn't know what we were doing. But I was telling Sawyer, anytime we go to the beach, pretty much if we ever go down to the beach and these guys go fishing, we end up losing one reel just because it gets sand in it or it's the salt. What's the true problem with us going, like, when these, and it happens, anybody local with us, if they go down to the beach and they don't have a trip book with somebody, most of the time the kids go down and they try to fish. It pretty much costs us one reel each time because it's trash when we come back home. Is that just what it is, being on the beach, or is it something that somebody can do to prevent some damage?
So the most of the time it's sand related.
I'm going to say, too, we're probably low-end on any kind of equipment, right? We're never down there, so we're not blowing a lot to get a reel to come and fish at the beach, and we're not going to use it here, you know? It just wouldn't be. Most times it's something we're not going to use here.
Well, the most of the problem is the sand getting into the reels. Yeah. The next thing is going to be if it ever gets, like, just full-on submerged or really splashed. Like, if you walk out into the water and you're wanting to make a long cast and a wave hits you and just completely submerges that reel, you're taxing a lot of these reels really hard especially if they don't have any type of, stainless steel components.
Right.
Now, if you don't put it in, like, completely come in contact with the sand or you get all the way in the water. I would advise to buy you can buy these little sprayers, like a hose end sprayer. There's a product called Salt's Gone. And if you take that Salt's Gone and just spray your whole rod and your reel and everything down, every afternoon when you get done, and really all of your equipment, if you had a tackle box that maybe is watertight, you could hit it with the Salt's Gone. Really anything that you took to the beach that can get wet, hit it with that Salt's Gone and it'll deactivate that salt on there and start, and really preserve the life of it, a lot of your stuff. If you're wanting to try to get some more use out of it.
For sure.
That'll help all of
everybody. We need to go ahead and just spray from head to toe. Cause the equivalent of me walking across the beach means I have sand from here to the bottom of my feet. And that's all right. It's the beach, but we demolished equipment and we were just talking about getting in the water. When we're there, we're probably 10 minutes away from having everything we have in the water. It's on us, I guess. It's probably better fishing out of a boat without the sand involved. It's probably easier on equipment, and you got good equipment, like you said, with stainless steel parts, so that helps,
Yeah, and it doesn't require that all of your stuff has like stainless steel. I mean, I'm using all Lou's rod and reels, and I have some of these Lou's there's nothing like quote unquote salt water about them. Right. And, I'll have a spool bearing go out or a roller bearing on the for the line roller, those will go out, but they go out on all of the reels, whether they're the salt water version or not. So as far as for me, I still have bearings and stuff that go out that are not, whether they're saltwater reels or not. So, but I do spray everything down with Salt's Gone after every single fishing trip.
So you believe in it.
I believe in it. And it's safe for, you can spray it. Like if you were to tow your boat down, a lot of guys from y'all's area will maybe bring their bass boat or their, their G2 or something like that and bring it down and try their hand at doing some trout fishing.
Right.
Well, if you do that, it would behoove you to grab a, maybe a gallon of that salt's gone and a hose end sprayer and spray everything down. Literally spray the inside the bilge, everything, and help knock that salt down, and it's worth every penny, in my opinion.
If we try that, our boat would be one of those you see kind of washed up randomly on the side of the shore. So we're gonna leave any of that. It's gonna be your job, okay?
You are that guy with the boat down there. Yeah, we're gonna come.
What my role is, and it's not to drive that boat out there. No, sir. We're not doing that. But so let me ask you this. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, no, I was gonna say when I leave my neck of the woods. Right. I go to get on the boat with somebody else myself. I am perfectly humble enough to know my lane. I know almost every square inch of Mobile Bay and the Mississippi Sound and the rivers and everything. I know which turns to go left on and stay away from the right side or whatever the case may be. Right. And I would rather get on a boat with somebody with similar knowledge to me just go and enjoy my day of fishing, because why do I want to be puckered up every time I put the boat in gear, you know?
It pays to do that. I mean, wherever you're at, no matter what you're doing, hunting, fishing, whatever, get somebody that knows the spot and they can help you. But
that's right.
What you say you live there. We met you probably. I mean, it had to be.
I don't know.
It had to be 7 or 8 years ago, first time. I've been guiding
full time now for 9 years. Yeah. And I think it was either the. It was either the first year or the second year I was full-time guiding. I'm pretty sure it was the first year.
Yeah. It may have been. I kind of think it was.
So, I think the time that we met with you, it may have been like two boats. Like, you had one boat. I think the second time we came, it was on a different boat.
It was center console. Well, both of them center console. The first one was a blue and white.
The Triton was the... I'm pretty sure y'all fished with me on the Triton.
We did the first time.
Yep. So that was my first year of guiding.
Okay.
Guiding full time anyway.
Right. Was this a habit that turned a little too strong and here we are?
Kinda, yeah. I got tired of it really had what kind of happened for me was I got my license and then I went and worked for a landscape company. I had a strong background in the green industry. I worked in the golf course industry and the maintenance side. And it was a small-ish landscape company.
Right.
And as I was growing with that company, I was learning things about business, marketing, advertising, all of these skills that I truly needed to be able to run a business.
Right.
And I started like, man, you know what? All of these things that we're doing with the landscape company, I could implement onto fishing. Right. And then when I would go, I had certain customers that would come and book me for 2 or 3 days and I'd take off work.
Yeah.
To go and run these guys that take them out like on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday or something like that. And I would go ahead and take that Wednesday off. So I'd have an entire day to scout for when they showed up. And man, after those 3 or 4 days, I'd be exhausted, but man, I'd just feel so good. I just would feel so good. It was so rewarding taking them out and having good days or heck, sometimes we'd have bad days on the water, but it was a really rewarding experience in the landscape world. I always say that everybody I dealt with was always slightly unhappy because there was their grass wasn't just quite right. This plant over here wasn't just growing as tall as they had hoped. Yeah. This thing wasn't draining, whatever. And it was like you could always be just a little bit unhappy on the landscape side. But on the fishing side, man, it is. I mean, I've had hundreds of customers on the boat with only one or two that just got off the boat, had the wrong expectations of what to experience. And maybe we didn't catch them as well as they thought we would. And they were a little bit unhappy. But the 99.9% of people that get on my boat are very happy when they get on and very happy when they get off. And I love my life when I'm dealing with happy people.
Yeah,
and so anyway, to go back to my like kind of my growth into it was I started learning all these skills in the landscaping world that I'm started looking at my competitors and some of my friends that were full-time guides. And I'm like, man, these guys, they're not doing anything online. They're not doing social media. They're not doing this. They're not doing that. So I started trying to train myself up a little bit. And I'm like, man, these guys are doing really good. And they're not touching any of these customers that are going to find them through all these ways. And I was like, you know, there's too many holes in the market right now that I feel like I could go and get customers out of all these different areas, plus through networking and asking for some overflow. And I was like, I can do this. Like I didn't look, and I came home one day and I told my wife, I was like, I'm going fishing. And she's like, oh yeah, you are. And I was like, yeah, I'm going fishing. I said, she's like, when are you going to do that? I said, tomorrow. I said, and this was like in November. I said, I'm going to start. I'm going to go full time fishing in the spring. I'm ready. And she was like, all right, well, let's do it. And
that may have been about the time we rolled in. It's probably May, right? I guess, I don't know. It was awesome though. It was good.
Yeah. I think y'all came in March or April.
It may have been.
Yeah.
But the Doc Duffy, like I told, I guess, man, I don't know how they'd got up with, but I know we had told him, you know, he was talking about trying to go, and we had told him about how we'd caught the trout, and the next thing we know, they had some trips lined up and they were going, and he believes in it, I think, every year, and I know he has done his trip this year already.
They came and fished with me at the kind of during our peak of our sheepheads. Spawn. So our sheephead spawn is a really fun period of time that we target these great big sheep's head. Sheephead are really good to eat. They fight really hard. And if you come during that spawn period, man, it's oftentimes where it's literally catching. Like it's almost like a brim. It's almost like brim bed fishing, but you're catching brim that could be upwards of 7 pounds, 8 pounds. One of Duffy's buddies caught an 11 pounder when they came. Wow. And then when we get tired, like it's in the perfect scenario, I want my customers to be tired of catching sheephead. And then we go find redfish, are great big 40 inch bull reds and catch redfish until we're catching redfish and go home basically exhausted.
That's what we need to do next year, and then go after the 53-incher.
Yeah, we go in after that 53-incher.
We'll do the 53-incher, or maybe 54.
Whatever, I'm game.
Oh, man, maybe it would work out. Oh, look, have you got since we started this, one part of what we want to do every time is, and we kind of incorporate some memories, right? So I want you to tell me or think about, it can be a fishing trip, a hunting trip, or whatever. I want it to be something outdoor related, but what's one of your favorite core memories of fishing, I guess, for you? It may have been this story you just told about your redfish, but have you got something else that you remember that you always have stuck with you?
Yeah, probably one of these turning point fish for me, and you know, I don't know what caused the turning point in me, but up until I was about, probably 8 years old or so. I mean, we always fished a lot, and 9 years old, I'd catch the biggest bass of my life. I caught a 9.5 pound bass when I was 9 years old.
Oof.
And my dad kept it. And, I just remember looking at it when it was dead, and I was like, man, it almost kind of made me sad. I was like, man, why'd we kill this thing? And my dad caught a 6.5 or 7 pounder, was the biggest one he'd ever caught. And I remember seeing them. We had them laid there side by side, dead. And anyway, he was like, my dad was fired up. He was like, we're going to get yours mounted. And it's still on my wall now.
Awesome.
But I just remember that it almost made me sad to have killed this big, beautiful fish. And from like literally from that day forward, my mission just became so much more on the conservation side of things. Now, I eat fish. I love to catching fish. I do a lot of catch and release. I love, yep. But at the same time, it just, I mean, something hit me when I was 9 years yep. old that just gave me just this deeper appreciation for Mother Nature and the fish and the, you know, everything that's given to us. And to this day, I'm very like conservative minded. We always like to keep some fish to eat periodically, but like, right. if I don't have a plan right. for what I'm going to do with them, put right. them back. I've instilled that in my son,
like our bass.
And, I've been, you know, he's the same way. Like we catch a fish and we're like, man, we ain't had sheephead in 3 or 4 days or a there week or a month or whatever. And you just right. caught a nice 4 or 5 pounder. That's a good one. We're going to keep, right. but you know, eight pound sheephead or 10 pound sheephead, something that's big and has some great genetics, then we're going to put it back. Just like on Duffy's trip, we kept fish that were all like in the 3 to 5 pound range,
right.
caught that big 11 pounder,
yeah.
took a nice picture of it and
right.
let it go.
Do you have a lot of people that try to do their best with measurements and pictures and weight, like for some that they can manage so they can maybe get them a replica made?
So I have done it a few times. Yeah.
If it's not going to bother it, I mean, I get that, you know?
Oh yeah, no. And I mean, obviously if it's within the law legal, for us to right. be able to keep a big fish that somebody right. wants to put on the wall, I'm not going to tell them no.
Right.
But I would, I mean, there's some really nice looking, fiberglass mounts. Like I have the state record sheephead. It's not the state record anymore. It got beat, but
one time it was
13 pounds, 14 ounces. And, I got a replica made of it.
Yeah. Sawyer was down here one night messing around in the shop and painting with airbrush and dude, it looked like he had ran a t-shirt shop for 40 years. Like, yeah. So I told him and I haven't ordered any, but I told him, I said, man, this summer we need to order you some of those replicas, and they're expensive, you know, like just to get it. But
yeah.
if that's what you want to do, you can
figure
get
it out, man. That's one thing. Nobody around, I don't nobody know about down there here. Where you're at, but nobody around here does anything with fish. And me being in the taxidermy, I've learned that the replica mounts nowadays are the way to go.
Yeah, man, it's longevity of it too. Yeah. I mean,
I understand that some people, they want to keep the fish and stuff, but the long, like you can, the fins and stuff on like your actual skin mount, you know, over time, it's just going to go away. That's just how it is. And they're going to break off easy, but them, the replica mounts are the way to go.
Yep. And it is 100% about the paint job. I mean, it took me probably, I don't know. It felt like it took me over a year to find somebody that I trusted to do my sheephead mount because yeah. all of them that I had looked at as far as stuff that people had cataloged online.
Yeah.
It just looked too generic. Like it didn't
cartoonish.
Have.
Yeah.
That,
I mean,
yeah,
it would look good in a store as advertisement, but it ain't what you want on your wall.
It's right. Right. Yeah. I mean, I love it whenever people incorporate some of that purpley hue to it or that sheen that pearl or whatever to where it still looks like it's wet and still looks like it just came out of the water and still looks like it's alive and has a slime coat on it.
Yeah.
But if it's just blah, just a gray and black sheephead or white, you know, you add a little bit of that iridescent to it. And next thing you know, man, it really looks good.
I've seen with Tucker, like if you're in the business every day, you know what it needs to look like. So you're going to be hard to get pleased. I mean, you're going to have to find somebody that no, like you said, yeah. find the person you trust to paint it. Tucker, get some of these ducks that people kill around here. It may be the first time they've seen that species. So they want it mounted no matter whether it's a good replica or not. It may have missing feathers everywhere, and Tucker's not happy with it, but they're tickled to death, you know. But he's like, that's not a good one to mount. But it's the first one they got in Alabama, so they want it. And, you know, he sees the difference than what some people do, you know, but they're still pleased with it because it's theirs. But, we caught a big bass the other day. Sawyer caught a bass down at my in-laws. They have a pond. We built a pond, I guess it's the third summer. So our fish are pretty small, bass and bluegill.
Yeah.
Sawyer had a fish to the bank, what, maybe 3 months ago?
Huge.
Big so bass. Sick. And I'm watching him. I can see him. I've got one of our little cousins
on a worm.
Little bitty dude. And he's fishing with a red worm. And he pulls that bass to the edge of the bank and he's got it. And I'm like, you're going to have to get it.
Keep going.
You got to go this way. But he, as soon as he kind of lets his pressure off, boom, fish flops. It's in the water. And he fished every day for like 3 days. And I told him, I said, man, you've been fishing for 14 years and you've only caught it once. You know, we may not get it again. Well, then what?
Two months later, he decided he wanted to try his luck and he caught the same fish.
The thing is, you got to tell him, though. Guess who got it in? We went to one pond and was fishing, and before we got out of the truck, Dad was like, sorry, y'all. He was like,
don't be mad
if I catch the big fish now. We fished at that one for like 2 hours maybe, and then we went down to my grandparents. Like
15 minutes, and he said, Sawyer, come here.
And the pole's bent all the way over. It's huge. And it's just flopping. It's huge.
So we get it in, and Sawyer's plan is, I'm mounting that. I'm going to practice on that fish. Okay. So I was good with that. We've caught it twice now. You're a goner, yeah. Right?
Well, yeah. Mom's a tree hugger.
Yeah, though, well, so. Ginger, my wife, doesn't like to see animals hurt. So we
got a little
We bucket. Kept it in a bucket for a little while, and then
it's like a 1 gallon bucket, too.
It was a small bucket. It was a lot of fish in a little bucket. Anyway, yeah. we make it back home, and I'm good with, like, we're gonna have to do the deed, you know? And somewhere between here and there, Sawyer has a change of heart, and he just decided that fish needs to live in our pond now. So now we have the big bass, and it may have eaten everything else we have in there. I don't know. I hadn't caught it since then, but
probably did.
He had a change of heart and decided, you know what? We should have made. We didn't really measure it that well, did we?
No,
we just stuck it straight.
At least, I don't know. At least 5 pounds
for this little pond we're talking about. It's a shocker to pull something out of that, you know, for five pounds. It was a good one, but it was funny when we got here. He's like, nah, man, let's let it live in our pond. So, but next time let's do some better pictures, measure it, weigh it, put it back, get the replica. You know, we can get one painted and you can make it match it pretty good.
No, my luck. It looked like one of them singing Billy Bass fish. And then you press the button and start singing.
And you got to start somewhere. Tucker's first
duck. You have to start somewhere.
That's it. Like Tucker, we told this once before. Tucker's first duck, he mounted.
Like a crane.
It looked like a crane mixed bred with a duck.
It was bad. The neck on it was like that long. It was bad.
And it's upstairs in our house, and I really want it in this shop so he can see every time he does one how far he's come, you know, but he don't want people to see it. Maybe we'll get a picture on here one day.
Yeah, that ought to be the podcast logo.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Oh, God.
His business, he'll get some more time on his hands, I'll tell you that. All right, before we stop, I want Sawyer. I told Sawyer to have a core memory we're going to talk about today. So what is yours? That's pretty good.
Yeah, I really love fishing. It's one of my top things, if not my favorite thing to do. But the problem is I get really motion sick. Like, on the ride to, like, summer workouts, if I sit in the car for too long looking at my phone on the way there, if I just run for a second, I'm throwing up, and it don't last long.
That's
why I got to fish off the bank every time I fish. But every time I fish off the boat, it's a good time. But I went to the beach with my cousin, Jack, and his crew. And
they've planned an offshore fishing trip.
Yeah. Right?
And Sawyer's excited, but he also knows I'm going to throw up all day.
Yeah. Okay. Right, so I guess they knew somehow, like a little birdie told them, I get really sick.
Maybe
so
your mom.
As I was sleeping, they snuck a little sticker on my neck to prevent motion sickness.
Behind your ear, kind of.
Yeah, I was like, right there.
Yeah.
And
he didn't know it.
Nobody knew it. It looked like a little banana sticker. So on the way there, we had to have somebody to take the car back to the hotel after we get there. So my aunt and my cousin sitting in the car, and I turn around and just look out the window. He said, you got a banana sticker behind your ear. I said, okay, just take it off. I don't want that on me. So he did. And maybe 15 minutes out, I start having some problems. We've not even casted a line or anything. And I said, Heath, I'm about to throw up. He said, there's a trash can right there. So I did the deed. I bet it was a good fishing trip, but I wouldn't know because I was unconscious the whole time.
He said he spent his time inside the cabin.
Yeah, I went where they sold Doritos and canned Mountain Dew, and I lay down on that couch the whole time.
So,
I was like, hope they don't charge me for this. I'm about to lay down. So I slept for like 3 hours.
He has been. Sawyer at that time didn't like to take medicine, so it was going to have to be something snuck in behind him. He was a naturalist, I guess. Wasn't going to be taking any kind of medicine or anything. But, like, what do you suggest to folks to come down that do have some of that issue? Because, like, I want to come down and get on the boat one day. Well, he needs to go. You know, I want him to go down there. So what is something that you see work most commonly for folks? Or is there a bunch of things that you hear people talking about maybe that they use?
Well, it's interesting you bring this up. I was just listening to a podcast today, the guys were talking about some seasickness patches, and right. the guy was talking about there. It's like some kind of all natural, and I just hadn't looked it up and see which one it was, but he said he's getting about 30 of them for $40 or something.
That's
like
fair
that.
Enough. Yeah.
So anyway, mine is that one is totally. You know, based upon an opinion of a guy, another person on the podcast.
Right.
Now, Duffy had one of the guys on his crew threw up almost the entire trip.
Oh,
I think two trips ago.
Yeah, that's awful.
And he got a prescription for motion sickness.
Right, right. Yeah.
And it complete, like he said he was perfect. No issues at all. Yeah. And I do not remember what the prescription is, but I do know that if you go to your doctor and you just say, "Hey, I need to get that prescription motion sickness," they have it in a patch and they have it in a pill. Right. And from my understanding, regardless of which way you go, it is fixed. Very effective medication, and it'll keep you from getting sick.
I've never been that way, so I don't know, but I can't imagine, man. If I throw up, I'm done for the day.
Yeah.
That's Brad's done. So I can't imagine wanting to be out for 4, 6, 8 hours and doing that while everybody's trying to have fun. I don't want to be that guy. And I don't need Sawyer doing that either.
I'm so used to it by now that during workouts, like last year, I was the one that threw up every day. So I would just stick my finger down my throat, get it over with, and I keep running.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, man, that may be hereditary. If I ran during football, I puked every day.
So you're welcome. I got a friend. This one, Tucker, was in school. We had to run maybe 2 miles around like a little track, and he came down the hill. It's like a little race. He came down the hill, and he turned to the right and he started throwing up. He was like, he's running. It looked like something you see in a movie.
Oh. Well, look, man, I appreciate you coming on here for sure. We'll do this again, and maybe. We will get together. Sawyer needs to come on a trip. Tucker's been able to come, and Sawyer hadn't. He would love it. I got to get him some medicine so he don't puke. We'll get that lined up one day. We'll get back on here and talk about that whenever that happens. And Tucker, you got any questions or anything before we finish?
I mean, like, if anybody's looking for a fishing trip, you're the guy to get with. I mean, it's just, we caught fish and we had fun time, and it was, 9 years ago, and I still remember everything.
It's been, we've been once since then.
I know, but it's just stuff that you won't forget.
Oh, you remember the one, the trip where it was busted and he came through. That was you were the savior that day, brother. I'm going to tell you. I mean, we were about 30 minutes away from a Walmart trip and fishing off that pier all day.
Well,
unless one of those guys that were waving and driving off felt sorry for us. We didn't have a connection that day.
Well, I tell you what, I do remember the call, and I remember I was asleep, and my wife, my wife, normally she is not up, and she was up, and she was up, and I remember I took the call, and y'all gave me the rundown of what the deal was.
It was a true story too.
I think I said, let me try to locate some bait, and I'll call you back, and cause I like with not having a plan, of going fishing, there's only a handful of bait shops,
right?
And the type of fishing that we were going to do, I knew we needed to have bait and to have our best success. And then when I hung up the phone and I told her what the deal was, and she's like, "Were you gonna take them?" And I was like, "Hell, I don't know," but it sounded like. I said, they got a couple boys that are ready to go fishing. Said they're throwing rocks in the water.
That's
what
we were doing, brother.
I said, let me see if I can get some bait. And if I can, I said, I'd really like to take them out. And she was like, well, if you're going to do that, get on it and get them.
She said, hey, you wanted to fish, go fish. Today's the day. Yeah.
And
a little motivation.
Yep. And I remember Shirley's is one of the bait shops. They're closed down now, but they had the bait and run down there and grab y'all. about we passed, 8 or 10 dozen. And
I think we passed you, like we were flying. You was like, meet me in so-and-so time. We're like, boom. And I think we passed you on the bridge, and my buddy's like, that's got to be the dude. And sure enough, it was you. It was good. It was good stuff. Well, look, man, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you, or what do they need to find you on. And we'll have the links when this comes out. We'll link it up to where they can find stuff, but just let them know how to get a hold of you.
Yeah, the simplest thing is go to my website is uglyfishing.com, and then all of my social media. If you have different social media outlets you prefer, just go click on whichever button there is on the top of the homepage. I've got Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Okay. I think I have a Twitter one, but I never hit on Twitter or X. Yeah. But yeah, that's the best place. You can click the book now button. It'll take you to my calendar. And it's a live calendar. So if there's an available date and it fits up with something that, you know, with a trip that you're wanting to put together, then you can go ahead and book that trip or at least reserve that day. And then we'll get it confirmed. And for people that are looking for bigger groups, then I also tell them just to go ahead and book the day if it's available, and then message me, and then I'll connect with other captains. I have 3 captains that I work with regularly. I got Captain Will, Captain Kyle, Captain Rick. All of those guys have their own boats and do a fantastic job. 5-star review captains every time they've taken a guest out for me. So
good deal.
If anybody, and then the other thing is if my opening available days don't line up with when you're coming, then I'll put you on one of those 3 guys' boats.
Right. What would you say is a comfortable group per boat?
I really like 3 and less. Okay. 4 is okay. Like in the case where we had, like when y'all came with me the first time, the boys were younger.
Right.
And the 2 of you were kind of, you know, the 3 of us as the adults, we were all kind of helping, making sure the kids were fishing.
Right.
Those are perfectly fine. 4 adults gets a little bit crowded, especially because in that case, you got 4 guys that are all trying to cast and try to be fishing at the same time.
Right.
It is something that we do. I probably do about, I don't know, maybe 4 man trips, but most of my trips are 3 and guys. Less.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, look, man, I appreciate it big time. And I'm glad you came on here and talked, and maybe there'll be some people call you. I know they will. I know. I mean, all the buddies we've talked to that have come, they're repeat customers now. So I think they get on the fish and they enjoy it.
Yep. It's a blast. And man, you know, one thing else is, you know, you asked me about how often I'm fishing, and I said 12 months a year.
Right.
That's something that's really fun for customers that maybe enjoy a trip with me. There's times, I mean, I have a good customer, a friend, he's from Tuscaloosa, and he's probably fished with me 12, 15 times or so, maybe more. He's had his boys fishing with me. They're about grown up now, but he's like, every time he comes with me, he's like, damn, Patrick, he said, we ain't never done the same thing twice.
Hey,
like,
that's good.
Every
man.
Time we've gone fishing, we do something different, and he loves that. Like and now it's like when he calls in or books a trip, I'm like, all right, what do you want to do? And he's like, I don't know. What you got? What you think? You know, what's something
You're
different?
You're in charge.
You know?
Yeah.
And we just, and sometimes it's intentional. Sometimes it's just reacting to the conditions that we have. But it is really cool that he's been with me so many times, and we've never done the same thing twice.
Well, that's awesome, man. But look, I appreciate it big time. I'm going to let Tucker take us out of here, and we'll get things cut off and all. But I will touch up with you. We may get on there in a minute. Sorry, find one of them dates if we can make it work out. Because I know he's itching now. All right, bud. Thank you.
Yeah, thank y'all for having me.
All right, have a good one.
All right, bye.
Bye.
All right.